Tonight we continue our series through the Belgic Confession. We come to the conclusion tonight of Article 26. Article 26 regarding Christ's intercession. Certainly another title that Article 26 could have had is Christ's mediation. That article blends these two beautiful doctrines, that our mediator is our intercessor, and that as our intercessor, the Lord is our mediator. We'll consider the second half of Article 26, which we may find on page 82 at the back of your hymnals. Page 82. In order to make the exposition of this doctrine, we'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we'll make the exposition of verses 1 through 7 as we learn from these verses that our Lord Jesus is indeed our approachable intercessor. Give heed now to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. We turn now to the Belgic Confession, Article 26. We consider the second half of the Belgic Confession on page 82, beginning on the second paragraph of page 82. We read, therefore, the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust from us, rightly says that Jesus Christ is all things, in all things was made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And further, to encourage us to go to him, he says, having them a great high priest, and hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like us as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in the time of need. The same apostle says, having boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith. Likewise, Christ hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required? Since Christ himself says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us his own Son as an advocate? Let us not forsake him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find him. For God well knew, when he gave him to us, that we were sinners. Therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in His name will be granted to us. Let us pray together. Father, we come to You this evening marveling again at the mediator and intercessor You have set aside for us. Father, You have already taught us that this is the only mediator between You and sinners. You have already taught us that He claims exclusivity to Himself. That's an unpopular message these days. But regardless of how unpopular it is the truth. And it is the truth that saves souls. And Father, as we continue to unpack this blessed doctrine of our mediator, Lord, help us to marvel. Help us to marvel at how approachable our Lord Jesus is. Help us to be like Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How popular in this country are vocational tests? In my country, they are very popular. You are moving into high school, or you're leaving high school and probably going to college, and you want to know what you are good at. You want to know what is going to be the next step. Which kind of profession are you going to embrace? And therefore, schools kind of encourage their students to perform one of those vocational exams. I remember taking mine. And it was a struggle. Because everything that the test pointed to good qualities, I have it all. I was absolutely flawless. But later on, what I figured out was that the test was kind of obvious. And everybody kind of had that same qualities. And everybody, according to that test, would be flawless. Everybody would fit in some kind of category. But as I was performing that test in my old days, something really caught my attention. And as a very early age, I came to the very simple and basic understanding that for whatever activity you embrace, you ought to have a specific characteristics to perform it properly. For example, if you're called to be a public relations person or to work with the public, you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to say hi to people. Otherwise, it's going to be very hard for you to perform your duties. If you decide to be a professor, you ought to be able as well to articulate your ideas with some kind of ability. You ought to have the ability of patience, the ability of simplification, to simplify information so that other people may understand it. If you're going more into the mechanical field, you need to have mechanical abilities. You need to be able to maneuver different tools and to be able to learn, to grasp new technology and to be able to do it. Now, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ executing the office of mediator, there is one specific characteristic that rightly so our confession and the scriptures point us to us that is fitting and absolutely necessary for the mediator. Is that the mediator is approachable. The mediator is approachable. Christian, do you understand this tonight? How approachable your Lord Jesus is to you, a sinner. The holy, great Savior and ruler of the universe is approachable to a worm like you. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? As we turn our attention to John chapter 14, that's exactly what we learn. We learn that we have a mediator who is necessarily approachable. Otherwise, he cannot perform the duties and the office of a mediator. Our Lord Jesus Christ is approachable and he delights in our company and he takes us to his Father. As we turn our attention to John chapter 14 verses 1 through 7, this is what you learn, Christian. You learn that the Lord God of all creation and your Redeemer has given you an approachable intercessor who delights in your company and leads you to the Father. You have been given an approachable intercessor who delights in your company and leads you to the Father. As we turn our attention to verse 1, we see here the Lord Jesus dealing with His disciples. The time for the crucifixion is coming. This is what we call the upper room discourse. The Lord Jesus is after now the feast that He had with His disciples, the table. They have already had their meal together. And now the Lord Jesus is giving them their His final instructions before His crucifixion. And this is what He begins saying in verse 14. Let not your heart be troubled. The disciples were suffering from heartache. Have you ever suffered from heartache? Maybe because of a love not corresponded. Maybe because someone has disappointed you terribly. The disciples were experiencing heartache. And the Lord Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Why were their hearts aching? Well, if you go back to chapter 13, verses 33 and 36, you know that the Lord Jesus has already declared to them that the Lord needs to depart. Christ needs to leave them for a while, not abandon. Christ needs to leave them. They are not going to have the presence of the Lord Jesus with them for a period of time. They don't know how long. The Lord Jesus has just expelled that to them in verses 33 and 36 of the previous chapter. And now they have this heartache. Their beloved rabbi, their beloved master is going to depart from their presence for a while, and they don't know how, they don't know when, and they don't know for how long. And isn't it amazing to see that the Lord Jesus know what's going on in their hearts? Just as the Lord Jesus know what is going on in your heart tonight. I don't. I can't read your hearts. But the Lord Jesus can. And if you're feeling a heartache tonight, the Lord Jesus reminds you through this text that you have an approachable intercessor and that He cares about it. And if you belong to Him, you can flee to Him. And so to help their disciples in this troubled heart that they have, look at what He says in verse 1. He says, the solution for the heartache is faith. The solution for heartache is faith. Faith in whom? Look at verse 1. Believe in God, says the Lord Jesus, and believe also in Me. You want to have your heartache solved? Abandon fear. Abandon distrust. Abandon all the anxiety and turn to Me and trust in Me. Do not fear separation. Do not fear my absence, but look to Me in faith. Look to My Father in faith. You see, the circumstances that the Lord Jesus has just described in the previous chapter were not pretty. The circumstances looked like very hard, unbearable to the disciples. That's where the heartache's coming from. Terrible circumstances are ahead of them, and the Lord Jesus is giving them the alert, and now they have this heartache. And how to face it? With faith. Cling to faith. Have faith in God, says the Lord Jesus. That faith that only the Spirit can give you. It's not an effort. It's not a positive thinking. It is a gift. A gift of the Spirit. A gift to all those who the Spirit saves. He gives them that faith that makes them cling to the Father. That faith that trusts. That faith that gives them absolute confidence in the Father and also in the Son. The Son is saying, I will never let you down. You may feel My absence for a while, but I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you. A commentator put it this way. He says, circumstances sometimes makes us see reality in a very hard and different way. It may lead us to discouraging ideas and expectations, but we are not led by circumstances, Christians. We are led by faith. The just shall walk and live by faith. And that's what the Lord Jesus is appealing to them, isn't it? Heartaches are solved and cured with faith. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son. Why they should believe in Him? Well, as we read from verses 2 through 4, we have this declaration of love for His disciples coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. He says, I will prepare a place for you in the mansion of my Father. Read in verse 2, He says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. Now, two things really should jump out of the text to our attention. The first one is that the departure of the Lord Jesus is for their own good. As it's going to be revealed later on, the Lord Jesus also associates His departure to the Father with the coming of the Paraclete. It is for the benefit of the church, it is for the benefit of His own disciples that the Lord Jesus is departing to the Father. So the Lord Jesus is not abandoning them. The Lord Jesus is not forsaking them. On the contrary, He is fulfilling His own promises to save all those whom the Father had given Him. And therefore now He depicts eternity. He depicts the heavenly sphere, the heavenly realm as this cozy living place, this mansions, rooms, a dwelling abode where sinners can come. But the second thing that should jump out of the text to you is that the Lord Jesus is not only departing for their own benefit, but the Lord Jesus is departing to promote their good. Yes, it is for their benefit, but the Lord Jesus has a personal interest in preparing a place for them. Look again at verse 2. He says, I am in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go with this specific goal, with this specific task, to prepare a place for you. And look at verse 3. And if I go to prepare a place to you, then I will come again to receive you to myself. This is the purpose of Jesus' departure, Christian. The purpose of Jesus' departure is closure. Jesus wants to be close to His disciples in a way that without His departure, they will never experience. Unless the Lord Jesus departs for a while, unless they experience the Lord Jesus' absence for a while, they will never experience the kind of intimacy and closure that the Lord Jesus is about to provide for them. And that's His desire. He wants that. Isn't that marvelous? Does that puzzle you? That the Lord Jesus wants to have closure with sinners such as you? It was like that since creation, wasn't it? Except that in creation, our first fathers, Adam and Eve, were absolutely pure. No sin. A real man, a real woman, made of flesh and bones, but no sin. Even in this scenario, to imagine an eternal God, an eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, triune God, desiring to have communion with His own creation is unfathomable. It's something unthinkable. But as we come to John 14, the Lord Jesus is dealing with sinners such as us, and He's saying, I will prepare a place for you. It is my desire to do so. I look for this closure, and I will come back so that you would take advantage, that you would experience this heavenly habitation with me. In other words, there's no need for you to be troubled. The Lord Jesus comforts them, reminding them, I want to be close to you. And my separation, my momentary separation, is to promote the most closure possible between us. Christians, do you understand what does that mean to me and to you tonight? That the Lord Jesus Christ is the approachable mediator that we so desperately need. That in spite of our sin and filthiness, in spite of our lack of faith, in spite of the heartaches that afflict us because of our lack of trust in Him, He still wants to be close to us, and He prepares a place for us to abide with Him, to live with Him. There is this beautiful description of heaven being an eternity of fellowship with our mediator. He's accessible. He desires our company, and He delights in it. That's the mediator that you have. If you sit here tonight and you have clung to Him, if you sit here tonight and you really adore Him and worship Him, and you have cast yourself entirely upon Him, acknowledging your sins, and now you have cast all your trust, all your faith, as He commands, upon Him, He reminds you tonight that your mediator is not disconnected or far from you. You see, that was one of the biggest problems in medieval religion. A distant God. If we were all born here in the 14th or 15th century, we would live in a time when closure to God is unthinkable. It's nothing possible to you. For you to have a glimpse of what it is to be close to God, you would have to embrace the priesthood. You would have to become a nun or a monk. Be involved actively in the church, but for the regular member of the parishes, there's no closure to God. Unless you use one of these priests, and even so, there's no intimacy, there's no love. But tonight, as we look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, we see this amazing intercessor and mediator who is absolutely approachable. You can come to Him and He's ready to talk to you. He's ready to lead and deal with you. And He is Himself preparing a place to have fellowship with you for all eternity. Christian, that's the mediator you have. And that's exactly the doctrine that is portrayed to us in our Belgic Confession, isn't it? As we turn to the Belgic in page 82, now the writer of the Confession used the book of Hebrews to teach exactly the same closure, the same openness, the same approachableness that we see here in John using the book of Hebrews. Using four different texts of the book of Hebrews, the Belgic Confession first reminds us that our Lord is an approachable mediator because He associates Himself with us and He sympathizes with us. The Confession uses Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 to do that. And using Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, the Confession reminds us that Christ is approachable because He's our high priest and because His experiences on the human frailties now inform Him of our own needs. He can be sympathetic with us because He experienced the frailties of our human nature without sin. From Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, the Confession reminds us that the Lord Jesus is approachable because He is the one who saves us and who is now an intercessor for each one of us. And lastly, the Lord Jesus is approachable because it's only through Him that we have access to the Holy of Holies. You see, the same doctrine of the approachableness of Christ that is so clearly present in the book of Hebrews is also clearly present here in the first three verses of chapter 14 of John. The intercessor that the Lord God the Father has set aside for us is approachable. And you don't need to fear Him. You don't need to shy away from Him. For He knows your heart. And He can intercede for you. And He experienced all your doubts and frailties. And He knows it all. He understands you from inside out and from outside in. He knows all of you. That's the Savior, Christian, that has been given to you. Do you understand the glory of your Savior tonight? Oh, does that make you want to go to Him? Does that make you desire to right now bow down and to worship Him and to address Him in prayers and to worship Him because He's approachable? Because you can cling to Him and the doors will not be shut? Maybe you sit here tonight and you're suffering from some sort of heartache. Troubles in your heart. Maybe you're experiencing these troubles because of temptations. Well, the Word of God reminds you tonight that He was tempted, and the Lord Jesus is able to aid all those who were tempted. Is there a heartache because of sin? Maybe you sit here tonight and you truly acknowledge your sin. It's overbearing to see how sinful you are. Well, you have an approachable mediator. He is the heavenly high priest who forgives us all our iniquities. Maybe you sit here today and it is death. Death is your heartache. You are afraid to die, or you are haunted by the passing of someone you love. And the Lord Jesus reminds you tonight that death, hell, and perdition are all destroyed because of His cross. He's able to save all those who come to Him and who address His Father through Him. Is it fear? Is it fear who is destroying, which is destroying your heart tonight, which is giving you a heartache? Oh, don't fear anything, Christian, because your mediator continually makes intercession for those whom He saves. There is no weaknesses that our mediator, an approachable intercessor, cannot sympathize. This is your Savior. The Lord Jesus is not only the approachable intercessor who delights in our company. The Lord Jesus is also the approachable intercessor who leads us to the Father. Remember, that ought to be a characteristic of a mediator. For a mediator to be the middle ground or the middle party, bringing both parties in a dialogue, making both of them equally accessible, He ought to be able to open the doors to the presence of one party to the other. And that's exactly what we consider now from verses 4 through 7. In verse 4, the Lord Jesus affirms that the disciples already know where He is going. Look, verse 4 we read, "And where I go, you know. And the way to where I go, you also know." One of the best aspects of narratives is the questions that the disciples make to the Lord Jesus. Because they at least help us with two things. They show us that we are not as needy of interpretation as we think. And the second is that it always gives Jesus the opportunity. Jesus is always given the opportunity to elaborate in what He's thinking. And Thomas speedily said in verse 5 that, "I don't know, we don't know where you're going and how to get there." Look at verse 5. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. We don't know this place that you're talking about. We don't understand what you're saying. And if we don't know where you're going, we have also no idea of how to get there. We don't know the where, we don't know the how. Help us." Well, the Lord Jesus is, in verse 6, speedily helps Thomas. And that's what you expect from an approachable mediator, isn't it? Someone who speedily attends to your call for help. Someone who is accessible. Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, Thomas, why don't you meditate on your question for the next couple of days, and then you come back and ask me it again. You know the answer already." But the Lord Jesus, this compassionate, approachable intercessor and mediator, He's compassionate and approachable, and He responds with grace and with great knowledge. Look at verse 6. He says, "This place that I'm talking about is the Father. The Father Himself. And there is no way to go to the Father Himself except through me." You see, the where and the how that Thomas asked is responded by the Lord Jesus in verse 6. The where is the Father. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The where is the Father. This is where He is going to. He's going back to the Father. And the only way to the Father, the only way to get to this specific place, per se, is through Himself. And here the Lord Jesus uses one of the most known verses in the Christian faith and by the Christian community. He reminds us that He is the only way to approach the Father. Once again, the Lord Jesus claims to Himself exclusiveness. You see, Christians, we live in a day and age not different from other days and ages. But we live in a day and age, and specifically there is a great hatred and animosity to the idea of the exclusiveness of Christ and to the exclusiveness of the Scriptures as God's revelation and as Christ as a way to salvation. People hate this message. The exclusiveness of Christ is despised, even by those who call themselves Christians. This exclusiveness of Christ is despised directly, and sometimes it is despised indirectly. But like it or not, be it politically correct or not, that's what Jesus claims to Himself in verse 6. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying to me and to you tonight, that there is no other way that leads anyone, any sinner, to this place, which is the Father, but Him. To approach the Father, you need to come through the approachable intercessor. He says He's also the truth. He's not only the way to the Father, but He is the truth of the Father. He is the embodiment of the Father's revelation. And we know that specifically by verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also." You see, we see the Father as we see Jesus. And we approach the Father as we approach our intercessor. The Lord Jesus is one with the Father, although not the same, although different, although a different person in the Godhead. But there is the unity of the Godhead. They are one. And it's a mystery. Our limited minds cannot understand how that is so. But it is so. That's why, again, at the end of verse 7, He says, "And from now on, you know Him and haven't seen Him." Now, for a Jew to see God, that's something unthinkable. But the Lord Jesus Christ is telling His disciples, "You see the Father as you see Me. You contemplate Almighty God with your own fleshy eyes as you cast your eyes upon Myself. I am the truth of the Father. I am the revelation of the Father. I am the embodiment of His revelation. But I am also the life of the Father." That's what Jesus says at the end of His known expression. "I am the way to the Father. I am also the truth of the Father. But I am also the life of the Father." You know, sometimes we talk about how to live our lives and how to live our lives to the best. There are books written on that message, isn't it? If you go to the self-help section of bookstores, this is the main theme: how to live your best life. Well, the Lord Jesus again claims exclusivity for Himself, doesn't He? He says, "There's no way to approach God Almighty but through Me. There's no way to know God Almighty but through Me. No other revelation will lead you to God Almighty. Only I will lead you to Him." But He also says, "You want a life? You want divine life? Only I can give that to you. No one else will. Your husband will not. Your fiancé will not. Your work will not give you life. No guru in this world will give you life. But you want life, the life of God Almighty, the life of the Father, here on earth? That's through Me." You see, the Lord Jesus is this approachable intercessor because of this relationship that the Son has with the Father. The Son is the Father's Son, and they are one yet different. This puzzling truth is what makes Jesus who he is. The powerful, almighty, only intercessor who is approachable and who leads us to whom we need to go back to. The Lord Jesus is approachable because he is the one who not only desires fellowship with us, but he also desires to take us back to the Father. And because of his own relationship with his own Father, once we are adopted in him, we enjoy the same relationship that he has. Oh, Christians, are you amazed with your Savior tonight? Are you amazed with Jesus? That he's approachable to you? To you who nobody wanted to talk in high school? To you who your co-workers ignore? To you who at the narthex sometimes nobody say good morning? The Lord Jesus is approachable to you. You can go to him. He desires your presence. Oh, if you have been saved and redeemed by him, you're always welcome in his arms. There's no time which is not a good time. There's no day which is not a good day. There's no time of the year when he's not available. He's always there. He is approachable. And he's always leading you to the Father. Because he's the way to the Father. He is the embodiment of the Father's revelation. And in him, the life of the Father is experienced even now. You see, that's exactly what we confess at the second half of our confession of faith. In the second half of our confession, we are taught about this, about the approachability of our mediator. He is approachable. We can cling to him, not only because of who he is, not only because he is the high priest, not only because he is the one who embodied, who dressed himself with human flesh without sin, but also because of the relationship between him and the Father. First, our confession reminds us that he was the one who the Father chose. No one else was chosen but his own Son. The Lord God Almighty, the Father, make the Lord Jesus this great mediator and intercessor for sinners and made him approachable. Because it is the Father himself who gives him, who gives the Son to us and makes him our way, our truth, and our life to him. It is only through the Son, says our confession, through whom we have access to the Father. Our confession points to the Lord's Prayer and even to Jesus' own commands that it's only through him that we have access to Father Almighty. What a great security you have tonight, don't you, Christian? What a great security. To approach the Heavenly Father through his own Son. Boldly go and enter the Holy of Holies. Wouldn't we pray more if we really believed these things? Wouldn't we spend more time in prayer? Wouldn't we really desire to be constantly in the presence of our Savior if we truly believed all this biblical truth with all our heart and souls? Oh, may this revive our souls tonight. To cling to the Savior who is approachable. To cling to the one who can clean us thoroughly. But you know, Christians, the Scriptures also commends us to be Christ's imitators, doesn't it? We are commended to be imitators of Christ in all that Christ is. And you see, as we are meditating upon this approachable intercessor, and as we are marveling with him, it is unavoidable not to ask the question, are you as approachable as Christ? Are you an approachable person? You see, maybe you sit here today and you hide yourself behind it. Well, that's not my temperament. That's not who I am. But how do you deal with that? Because the Bible commands you to copy the Lord Jesus. It is undeniable. And if we are to copy the Lord Jesus, we are to copy him in his speech. We are to copy him in his manners. We are to copy him in the way he dealt with sinners. We are to copy him in the way he dealt with believers and disciples. We are to copy him in his approachableness. Let me encourage you tonight. Seek to be an approachable brother and sister. Be a true follower of Christ. Be as approachable as He is. Now, we don't need to be Brazilian approachable. I understand that. But be approachable as Christ. Be open to dialogue. Be ready to salute and to greet. Be ready to listen. Be ready to engage to one another, to delight in each other's company, to truly enjoy the fellowship of the believers. Do not limit yourself to the same circles that Sunday after Sunday you walk around at the narthex, but have fellowship with all of them. The Lord Jesus here is saying, I am preparing a mansion for all of you. I want to have fellowship with all of you 12. You are mine. We know that one of those were the son of perdition. But at this time, the Lord Jesus is saying, I want to have fellowship with all of you. May this be your spirit as well. Oh, be as approachable as your Savior. Be as approachable as your Savior. For if we are commended to be approachable as He is, if we are commended to imitate Him in all that He is, you're also commended to be approachable as the mediator that we have. You see, Christians, we have an approachable intercessor who delights in our company and who leads us to the Father. Oh, let us take hold of Him. And let us approach Him in adoration and prayer. And let us copy Him, being approachable to one another, ready to listen, to talk, to greet, and to succor. Let us pray together. Our great God in heaven, Father, we thank You for the great mediator that we have, for the approachable mediator. Father, we pray, Lord, that as we cling to this knowledge this evening, that You would really warm our hearts, that all the heartache that we may be feeling tonight would be gone, would disappear from our souls. Whatever it is, Father, help us to cling to You and to our Lord and Savior, Your Son, in faith. The faith that only Your Spirit can really make exist, make to come up in our hearts. And as we cling to Him as our approachable intercessor and mediator, Father, we pray that our souls and hearts would delight in the intimacy and in the closure that we have with the only Savior that there is. O Lord, as we know these things, make our souls sensitive to those who perish. For so many are clinging to intercessors of Satan. So many are today embracing intercessors who will lead them to hell. And Father, as we embrace the way to You, the truth to You, and the life to You, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be sympathetic to those who perish. Help us to tell them the word, the way of perdition that they are seeking, and help us to point them, O Lord, to the only one that can reveal You to them, to the only one that can give them life, to the only one that can take them by the hand and take sinners to You. Father, we also pray that You would help us to imitate the Lord Jesus even in this. Help us to be approachable as He is. Help us to be open as He is, so that we may honor Him, so that we may glorify the approachable intercessor that You have given us. In His name, Father, we pray. Amen.